May we have your undivided attention. Who has a Bible? Do you have it with you?
My Bible, I'm going to have it in my club.
Do you have it with you?
We have it.
We can't come to worship without our Bible. Some say we don't have it. Please go to John chapter 7.
Verse 43. Verse 43.
May the man in the blue please read.
Ah, chimwe na mavala mayala blue ago. Taimi ya nuri mwerenge 43 so mwere. Yohani chapter 7 43 mwerenge. Mwokweza mau kuti bimbo
se. Chimwe Yohani 7 verse 43. Ndaka tsono kusiana kamulo chifukwa cha iye.
Thank you.
Zomkhambi.
In English, our text for consideration today is John 7, verse 43. So there was a division among the people because of him. May I stand here? There was a division in Jerusalem because of him. Because of Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ?
Jesus
Christ?
He came here and caused division? If someone comes into your family to cause division, you kick him out. You tell him to go. Jesus Christ? The Son of God,
Jesus Christ,
is causing a division. Jesus Christ is dividing. Jesus Christ comes into Jerusalem to create a chaos. How can that be? This is a mystery, isn't it? I thought Jesus Christ came, and Jesus Christ came to save and to bring his gospel. But now we read that they are divided. Because of Jesus Christ. What do you think? Let me ask you a question. Has Jesus Christ come into this town? Has Jesus Christ come into this village? If he has not, then I would say there's much contentment. Now maybe you think that I'm talking literally. But I mean this. Has the gospel of Jesus Christ been brought into this village?
Amen.
Jesus Christ and his gospel has been brought into this village. If so, then the gospel has created division. That means if Jesus Christ has come to this village, there has been chaos. Here, these people in Jerusalem were confused. They were divided. And you also, you need to know, they all were coming to Jerusalem to worship. That was their intent. They were all coming to church. They were coming to worship. They were happy. They would do a lot of different activities. Many, many groups of people. This was a feasting time. There was a great feast in Jerusalem at the time. So there was joy, happiness, food, singing, and Jesus Christ, he breaks it all. One man takes all of the joy away, makes everyone confused, divides people. You see, there was a division among the people because when Jesus Christ comes into a village with his gospel, he creates division. Confusion. You see, these people were feasting. And they had done this every year. Maybe you come every Sunday, like they come every year. And everything's okay. You come Sunday, sing, read the Bible, a little bit of teaching, and everything's okay. Sometimes you come, if you're too busy, you don't. Everything's okay. Everything's restful. Your life during the week is not okay. Maybe your heart is not okay. Maybe you come here because you are burdened. Very much struggles. Mothers, fathers, struggles, children, maybe marriage. You know if you look in your heart where the trouble lies. Even you young people, we come in to church. And you know what we do? We sing. And I love it. The church sang beautifully today. But you know what? You tell me if it's true. Have you ever been able to sing away your difficulties? Right. Have you ever been able to sing enough so that your marriage problems go away? When you're done singing, we sit down. And what do you sing? What are we going to do? See, all these people were in Jerusalem. For many days. They were singing each day. They were coming together in groups. Eating sima and relish. Talking about their life. It looked so good. Excitement. Children were playing. It looked okay. Until Jesus Christ walked in to Jerusalem. You see, because if the gospel comes in here today, maybe today to a heart that looks okay. But what does the gospel do? What does Jesus Christ do? You know what he does? You know what the gospel does? Most people don't teach this. But the gospel exposes the chaos in your heart. The gospel and the teaching of Jesus Christ is to expose, not to hide. And do you know what else the gospel does? It divides. You know what it divides? It divides good and evil. And you know what is used? What tool is used to divide? Maybe you say nice soft words. Will divide. Or a saw. Or maybe a chisel. You know what is used? You know what is used? A sword. And the sword comes through today. The sword comes through. To divide. To separate. And you would think, but that's not the gospel. The gospel is good news. The gospel is there to make you free. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is loving. He is kind. He is forgiving. That seems to be strange. But you know what we are forgetting? The gospel. We're forgetting who the gospel is for. That's the problem. Because God is love. Jesus Christ did come.
Yes, what
But what was his work? was to expose you. Let's go a step further. If the gospel is going to come today, who is it coming for? Who needs the gospel? Why would the gospel come to here today? Who needs it? We only need the gospel if you're a sinner. You only need to be saved if you're lost. You see, here comes division now. Because when he came into Jerusalem, there was so much religion, so much sacrificing, so much singing, so much praying, so much false hope. And Jesus Christ did not come to bless that, but he came with a sword. You want to know what he says? In Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Listen to what he says. This is Jesus Christ himself. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword.
What
does that mean? He says, think not that I come to give you peace. Here today too, he doesn't want you to be at peace with what you have. He wants you to be at peace with him, not with what you have. That is what the sword needs to do. You might have religion. You might have a church. You might even have some good things you do. But he doesn't want them. He comes to divide, to separate, keep what's yours, and he exposes it. Because even your best things that you do are filthy before God. Jesus Christ comes in and he comes in with a sword, and his gospel comes in today. And his gospel comes like a sword, and he points. Yes, the gospel does that. Who wants to be divided? Who wants to be separated? What is going to be separated? You know that if a sword in battle, what takes place? In a horrible war, it slices. What happens? The head comes off. It divides. Sounds horrible, doesn't it? It sounds horrible, doesn't it? And that's exactly what the gospel needs to do. We need to die so that we may live in him. It's so precise. Let me tell you how precise it is. When the sword divides, it divides between evil and good. It divides unrighteousness and righteousness. It divides death, life, and it's not mixed. And the people, they're now having little conversations, little groups of people are coming together. And they're debating. Is this not Jesus Christ? Is this not the Messiah? It can't be the Messiah. Messiah doesn't come from Galilee. But can anyone do more miracles than this? Let me ask you something. Have you been divided? Because not only does it divide your soul and your flesh, but it divides your family. It divides your village. For those who began to talk about Jesus Christ as the Messiah were threatened. There was a threatening happening. What was going to happen? You know what? If they, while being exposed, would fall for Christ, that means their religion doesn't mean anything anymore. That means all the good things, their feasts, all these things that they were doing is going to be useless. And they were confused and divided. Because they said, if we follow him, we have to let everything go. If the gospel has come in your life, it has divided you. If the gospel has come into your life and you have received the gift of grace, how are you divided? You know how it divides? It divides in our men. It divides where they were once walking the village drunk. Careless. And it sliced that. And they are now.
So
can no longer go with your friends. You can't go with your friends anymore. And seek women. Young boys, listen. Don't be influenced by all the other men. Because you need the gospel too. And if you're not divided, you will follow in those footsteps. Maybe one of the women has been saved by grace. And you used to go to the borehole with the other ladies and you used to talk about a lot of people. But now you can't do that no more. Because the love of Christ has opened your heart. And you have to go to the borehole now. And you have to say to the other woman, we can't do that. We should not speak about one another. Jesus Christ in my heart will not allow that.
Amen.
Maybe
Maybe the other women who have not been saved by grace say, use another borehole.
And you're all alone.
Divided. Nobody wants you. Because you're not following the same path of unrighteousness and wickedness. And maybe because your elders, you have to go to the places in the villages where evil is taking place.
Mm.
And you're talking to the men. And you're saying to the men that are choosing more than one wife. And you're saying, men, you can't do that. That's not what the Bible teaches. You have to tell your friends. You can't do that. And they get angry. And you're divided.
And you're divided.
You see, this gospel, this Jesus Christ is dividing things. And all the religious leaders, they said they were trying to keep it down. They were watching because they were afraid. If this man exposes too much in our life, we're going to lose our religion. And as he went through, his sword went down. You see, because you remember in the Bible we read about a woman who is at the water well in the middle of the day. She's all by herself. Why is she all by herself? She was too bad. She had five husbands. Who wants to be with her? But guess who came then? Just her and Jesus Christ. And he came to expose her. And it created a division. You see, this gospel comes today. And maybe you thought, I'm resting. I'm okay. Everything that happened in my life, I'm going to keep here. It's a good thing most people don't know. It's a good thing that we don't know. That the people don't know what we men were thinking this whole week, right? Some of the things that may have come into our mind. It's a good thing. But Christ comes to divide, to lay them. And you know what we read? In the next verse of John chapter 7. We read that there was a division among them. And in verse 9, there was so much confusion. So much distraction, that it says in verse 44, and some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. You know what? Many people wanted to lay hands on him. Wanted to take him. Why?
They wanted to do this. He's dividing. He's exposing. They wanted to grab him and cast him out. They're make because Jesus Christ is making us restless. Maybe you feel that way today. As you hear this gospel, for people, if Jesus Christ is going to come in your heart, He's going to divide you. He's going to expose you. The gospel will come for sinners. And I preach to you today to take him. No man durst take him. No man dared to lay hands on him. What a shame. What a shame that no man dared to lay hands on him. He would say, well, that would not be right to take and lay hands on him. But I want to tell you something. Today, as the gospel comes to you, and as Jesus Christ is presented, and he is dividing and exposing the chaos of your life, lay hands on him. Take him. Many believed on him. Many were sure that he was the Messiah. And you can come that far. That's very far. Maybe all of you today have at least confessed that he is the Messiah. But you don't know what he does. You don't know why you need him. You don't know what his work is. So you are confused. But the gospel goes out today. And it comes to you. Will you take him? No man dared to lay hands on him. So that the majority of them, most of them, did not dare to lay hands on him and shut his mouth. But who today here will lay hands on Jesus Christ? Because they were at the feast. And if they lay hands on him, and I mean laying hands on him to accept him, to receive him, they would have to lose everything. What would take place? The Pharisees and the Sadducees would take you if you took Jesus to lead you away. You'll be known as a rebel if you lay hands on Jesus. And that's the mystery. If your heart today is convicting you, If your life is a chaos, you don't know what to do. If you are hopeless, and you are, as it were, feasting to try to numb the sorrow, lay hands on him. Lay hands on Jesus Christ. Which will mean you have to let go of everything. Which means that everything you have ever done in your life has been contrary to Christ. If you take hold on King Jesus, you must take your crown off. And we all have a crown. You know, when someone would say something about you that is not nice, or you've been accused of something, what do you do? What does man do? We always bring the good things we did. I'm not that bad. Maybe one of the men is playing idolatry with another woman. And you know what we do? We say, no, but that man played with two women, so I'm not so bad. We always take a crown, our crown, and try to show our good jewels. But taking Jesus Christ by faith means to cast your own crown down. To come as you are, a sinner. Yeah, not just a sinner, but the worst sinner in this town. When one in gospel faith takes Jesus Christ to embrace him by faith, and takes hold of him by faith, you must let go. You must be divided to receive him. And no one dared to lay hold on him. No, and it's meant in the context here that they were supposed to take him to put him in, to take him to the rulers. Satan stirred up the hearts. But the men were such cowards, they didn't dare to take him. They were afraid. They were afraid of the people. But what is more sad, what is more heartbreaking, those who are being exposed at the feast would also not lay hands on him. No one dared. If you stand in the middle, like these people, and your heart testifies today I can't lay hold on Jesus Christ. Because what he speaks is so powerful. And maybe your heart says today, I can't lay hold of him. I can't lay hold on him. Because my heart is hard. I don't dare. As you understand, that when the gospel comes to us, and it divides, the true gospel dividing makes either enemies or friends. That's the dividing. And if you come today and the gospel is brought so richly and you're an enemy of Jesus Christ, that you'll want to take him and cast him out. You know why? That's our nature. That's who we are. What do I mean? Because if Jesus Christ is dividing, that means he's convicting all of us today that who we are today is unacceptable. The way we are as we are born and created by God is not acceptable by God. Our idolatry, fornication, theft, lying, not honoring God, secrets, gossip, your lifestyle is all at enmity against God. And the gospel is coming today. And either you will have to say one or the other. Either get rid of this gospel and let me live my life. Let me be who I am. Let me go on. Or the gospel is slicing your conscience open and convicting you that it has to change. And if that's so, that means the Holy Spirit is convicting you. One or the other. Either cast him out. Either lay hold on him, get him out. They were saying that. Go take him. Get him out. He's exposing my heart. Why won't you do it? If you want to live your life the way you think it should be, cast him out. Why don't you dare? Why don't you dare to cast him out? Get rid of him. Live your life the way you want. Give me my life. Cast him out. Lay hands on him. And you don't dare. They didn't dare. You know why? Because in their heart, deep in their heart, they said, sounds true, what he's saying. And as they beheld all of this in bewilderment, they were at war inside. Are you at war? Maybe you say, I don't dare to cast him out. Yes, I want my own life. But I'm convicted. I don't dare to lay hold on him. Then the gospel comes to you in the divided way, the other way. If that's so in your heart, then lay hold on him by faith. Take him by faith. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, the kingdom of God suffereth violence. And the violent take it by force. Violence by force. Because if you are convicted today, and you cannot take him to cast him out, take him by faith. And take him at his word. You have to lose everything then. You have to lose your life. You have to lose everything you have on this world. I never came to send peace on earth, he said. But he came to give peace in your heart. Take him and lose everything. No one dared to take him. On both sides, not. Many were so close. They said, but this man is doing miracles. This must be the Messiah. And they didn't let go and take him. Because they were at the feast. On this side, they didn't dare to take him because they were convicted. And on the other side of the sword, they didn't dare to take him because they were scared. Yeah, what are people going to think? What are your friends going to think if you fall for Jesus? What are the other women going to think if you confess Jesus Christ? If you deny everything. Because I want to tell you something. I want to tell you something very important. If you fall for Jesus Christ and you take hold of him by faith, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you something. The bribes in your lives are finished. The sin of bribing, you will have to expose. You have to tell your friends. You can't bribe Christ. That's not Christ-like. You will have to go to your friends. Who are maybe you have friends who are doing playing with fornication or idolatry. And you used to laugh.
You used to think it's funny. But now it hurts you.
Come on,
you have to go to your friend.
Then we'll be able to come to our friend.
And you will be divided.
Mwezo mkuruja basa kwa
hino. They didn't dare.
Muna so saile kesa kumkwila.
They knew they would probably be cast out.
Ndeo mweza kuli basi chuma osaija, ayu wengari mwenye kuhunja.
If you follow Jesus, you can't come in the temple anymore.
Ngari mungu sarra di yesu zona ali, si mungabu yeso, mkajisi, shimozi mozi.
If you become the Lord Jesus' friend, will be become your enemy.
Chifuwa ngari niyo mungu sangele, uri yesu, karibu yesu, karibu yesu, karibu yesu, anzari mungu sarra.
I want to tell you something. If Jesus Christ lives in your heart, then you have experienced that people around you have become your enemy. Why? Because you're exposing the truth.
That was what the predicament they were in. They were on two sides of the sword. If I take him, if we take him and get rid of him, then our conscience won't bother us anymore. Because he's exposing too much. But he's telling the truth. It's the truth. And if it's the truth, we're missing it. And they went on to this side. But if we lay hands on him and confess that he is the Son of God, that he is the Messiah, and I come and I take him, people will look at me and say, he or she's gone crazy. And people will mock me. People won't like me. I won't be able to go to the feast anymore. I won't be invited to the little groups of at the water well anymore. And I will have to warn them. I can't do it. And I didn't dare to lay hands on Jesus. And you. Where are you? Where do you stand? Are you still in the middle? Maybe you say, no, I can't lay hands on him to get him out. I don't dare. But I also can't lay hands on him. Because I'm embarrassed. You see how many people were standing in the middle? Not one way or the other way. Lost. Divided. How do I do this? The feast was not so enjoyable anymore. Jesus Christ and his gospel divides. And you? Will you take hold of him? If we don't take hold of him in this life, he won't be there after this. We must take hold of him. And I have to say, in enmity, take hold of him and cast him out. Say, I don't want Jesus Christ. If that's your heart, be honest. But I have to tell you something, that today Jesus Christ comes here, not me, and he comes with his sword, and he comes and he looks at you all, and me too, and he says, who will be divided? Who will be divided today? And who will fall for Jesus Christ? And when you fall at Jesus Christ, you don't need to lay hands on him. Take his feet. If you are broken, if you know you are a sinner, there is forgiveness. at the feet of Jesus Christ. Take his feet today. And you know what you will say? Just like Queen Esther. When she came to King Ahasuerus. She came. Trembling. It could cost her life. And you know what she said? If I perish, I perish. But I can do no other. And what happened with her? The king put out his rod. And she was saved. But what was she coming to do? She was coming to expose Haman's plans. You see, when you come, the Bible says you must believe that you are and are a rewarder of him, that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him.
Yes, I'm proud of you. I'm going to
I promise you. In the name of my master, if you take his feet today, by faith, your heart will transform. Your heart will change. And though you may be afraid, believe me, there's nothing to be afraid of. Only come as you are. Come exposed. Come a sinner.
At
the feet of Jesus Christ. And receive the gift of grace. For he's calling today through the gospel. What did he say? Let's read it. Verse 37. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Is there someone here who's thirsty? Jesus Christ invites, come to me, and I will take your thirst away. I will give you living water in your soul. I will forgive your sins, and I will make you free. But he says, take hold of me. Take hold of me and live. Amen.
Amen.